Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
I just biked around Lake Michigan, nearly 1,000 miles.
This Ben Jarofsky Show, Benny J Bonus Interview, is brought to you in part by SEIU Chicago, Illinois, Indiana, the Chicago Federation of Labor, and the Chicago Reader. Benny J, take it away.
Bonus time of the Ben Jarofsky Show. As I speak, it's Wednesday, January 20th, 2022. As I always do when a bonus show, I read the headline that was in the newspaper to give you a sense of what was going on in the world as we did our show. So let me get my beloved bright one, home delivered as always. Yes, I subscribe. Here it is. Of it. And here's the headline in the Sun Times on Wednesday, January 20th, 2021. Ding dong, the witch is dead. No, I'm just kidding. That's not really. I don't think my beloved Brightwell would be that extreme. But yes, the headline is about the inauguration, and the inauguration went down. Joe Biden is officially the president of the United States, as you hear this. And I'm just loving it, ladies and gentlemen. Donald Trump has left the stage, but Trumpism is still very much a part of our country right now. Don't kid yourself. Don't fool yourself. Don't go back to sleep like you did in 2009 when Barack Obama was elected. It was a sworn in. Everybody, all the Democrats went to sleep and then woke up in 2016 with this nightmare. Anyway, got plenty of local and national news to talk with my distinguished guest. So as I do with all distinguished guests on the Ben Jarofsky Show, I ask my distinguished guest to introduce herself. So go ahead and introduce yourself, distinguished guest.
Hi, I'm Sue Ontiveros. I'm the former editor and columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times. I'm retired now, and I live in Rogers Park. And I think that's it.
Yes, she's a retired journalist. This means because she's retired, she's free to speak her mind. Though if anybody read her columns back in the day, she pretty much spoke her mind anyway in those days. And she's a lefty like me, though I don't know, Sue, if you'll admit it. But a lot of times I read your columns, go, yeah, that's right. Yeah, tell it like it is. At the outset of the show, as a gag, we played Rahm Emanuel being Rahm and Donald Trump doing some silly sound. Both of them have left the stage, but very much Donald Trump and Trumpism will still be with us. We'll get to all that, Sue. But as I told you before, I want to start with local. You're involved in a neighborhood fight, I'll put it that way, a neighborhood challenge that I want all my listeners to know about, because I think it's really important. So I'll allow you the opportunity to tell people about the story of the High Ridge Y. Go ahead.
Okay, so the High Ridge Y, my family and I, we've been involved there for almost 30 years. My son went to the preschool there, learned how to swim there. I've continued going there all these years. And one of the things I always thought about when I would be retired was that I would be able to spend more time there. Because they always had all kinds of great senior programs, and I saw that in my future. And for the little time before the pandemic that I got to go, yes, it was nice. And then all of a sudden on December 18th, we see on social media a notice that it's closing permanently. And actually, when I saw the word permanently, I thought permanently, that means like forever. No, they can't be, you know. And you know, with the usual stuff they tell you, there's of course the pandemic impacted it, but they said, oh, we were having declining enrollment and the classes weren't popular. And you know, I was like, oh, that's sad. And then we started thinking about it, not just me, but other people started thinking about that's not true. You would go in there and it was always so busy, and it couldn't possibly be true. And so we started a group. It's called the Save the High Ridge YMCA. We have a Facebook page, and we've been having meetings, and we had a big rally on Sunday. We drew about, I'd say about 150 people. And we're just trying to keep that wide. Our communities are very close to the lake. We cannot have children growing up here without having access to nearby swim lessons. It's just dangerous. That's my biggest thing about it. And the Y always offered sliding scale. So it wasn't that, everybody could get a lesson if you wanted it. Yeah. So,
well, let me go on my soapbox a little bit here, Sue. And, you cannot have a civilized city without institutions like WISE. And I say this as an old timer. I grew up in Evanston. I lived at the Evanston YMCA. Ping pong, basketball, pool. They had pool tables there. Swimming lessons. My friends were in a Y club. It's just like a social place. It's for then teenage years with the teen clubs and the teen dances. And I know when I moved to Chicago, many Chicagoans told me they grew up with the Y in Hyde Park, Y's on the South Side. And High Ridge was always the Y for Rogers Park. And it's just such part of a community. And I lived through the destruction of the new city Y, which was where my kids play basketball, where my kids socialize, where my kids went swimming, and the wise excuse was, basically they could get more money from selling the land for development. And now, of course, they tore it down. We lost the swimming pool and they got what the world needs now, a shopping mall, which we don't need to. This is me speaking for myself. So I just feel as though the city of Chicago should recognize that there's a really valuable asset in a YMCA, particularly with the swimming pool, teaching kids how to swim. And I would like to see the city get involved to try to encourage, I'll use that word, that euphemism, the Y to maintain the programs there and maintain the building there. Is the city getting involved, Sue? Are they joining your efforts?
The aldermen in the area, Alderman Silverstein from the 50th, the Y is actually in the 50th. She's been very supportive and involved. She came out to our rally on Sunday. Maria Haddon from the 49th, she came out. She's written a letter and she attended our Zoom meeting that we had last week. Andre Vasquez from the 40th, his family actually used the Y for daycare and they worked out there and stuff. So he's very familiar with the Y. And they all are encouraging the YMCA of Metro Chicago to keep High Ridge open.
What's the Y's argument?
Well, we haven't heard all their argument yet, but they say that we have lost members, but I'd like to find a gym in anywhere that didn't lose members during the pandemic. We did not lose members beforehand. And we're so close to that. And that's the frustrating thing. We're so close to the end of this pandemic. The vaccines are right around the corner. Once, Joe Biden and Kamala, they're not going to treat it the way the past administration did. I mean, everything is going to be a lot better as far as the virus. And so we're all these things will be able to be open again. The seniors will be able to go there. The teens and the little kids, we could get the Head Start program. They have a beautiful Head Start program there. And, working parents, when your money's tight, that was a wonderful asset. And you just hate to see any of that. So we're so close. Let us stay in business through this, and we're more than happy to work with the Y on figuring out fundraising, a better business model maybe than we had before. There's a lot of people with a lot of good ideas, and we just want them to listen to us.
Well,
and also, I can't forget this one thing. Mm-hmm. In December, they received $25 million from philanthropist Mackenzie Scott. So just give us a little bit of that money so we can stay in business, you know, and once we're back and we got back in business, you know, once the pandemic is over, all the programs can open up again. We can build them up better than they already were. And just give us time. That's what we're.
Just to clarify, who got the money for McKenzie Scott? Who got that $25 million?
YMCA of Metro Chicago.
Got it. Yeah. McKenzie Scott, of course, was married to Jeff Bezos and as part of the divorce settlement, received a lot of money and has been very generous in doling it out. So, yes, YMCA, come on. You got some money. You can't cry poor. McKenzie Scott just gave you $25 million. Sue, I remember the fight for the New City Y, and for listeners who aren't familiar with Chicago, we have a lot of out-of-town listeners. The New City Y, the high-ridge Y that Sue was talking about is on the north, sort of the close to the Evanston border on Western, not far from Howard Street. And the New City Y was in an area that was rapidly gentrifying. Property values were soaring. It was near the old Cabrini Green housing complex. So what happened eventually, the land became so valuable. I think that's what motivated the Y to sell it ultimately. And also the Cabrini Green community had been displaced when they tore down the projects. Is the land that valuable on Western Avenue near Tui in your neck of the woods that it would just be incumbent upon the Y to sell it, in your humble opinion?
I find it hard to believe kitty corner from the Y is a Baker Square that has sat dormant now well over a year. Nothing has gone in that space. There's a lot of empty storefronts that were empty. There were things that were empty before the pandemic, and also along Tui, both streets. So I don't see it as I'm not a commercial realtor, so I don't know. But I would hate to see this Y that they sold all the time at national meetings as the most diverse Y in the country. And by that, I mean economically, racially, there's all ages, there's all religions, you name it. People of all different types of people have get together at that Y. And I thought that's what we were striving for in this world. And so to give that up it just horrifies me.
We'll close with a one last pitch for the Y, but that's what we're striving for in this world. It's a perfect point to make a tangent to what went down today, Wednesday, January 20th, inauguration, with Joe Biden being sworn in as president, Kamala Harris being sworn in as vice president, first woman ever to be vice president, and talking about a new day for the country, a new day for the world, really, and less division, less divisiveness, less open hatred than the previous administration. It was funny, Sue, I think you're still suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. You referred to it as the past administration, like you just couldn't say the man's name. I'll say it for you. His name was Donald Trump. He was president of the United States for the last 4 years. That's his name. That's the man who mostly bears responsibility for what's going down in this country for 4 years. Talk a little bit about your feelings and what was going on in your mind as you watched Joe Biden and Kamala Harris get sworn in today.
Well, first I think I'm turning into my mother because I was worried that something could happen to them. And there I was praying for them that nothing, you know, that this day would go through without anything after what happened a couple weeks back. But also it just seemed like, it does seem like a new day, and we're going forward. That's what I always have thought, that we would always be going forward and be more inclusive. And the last 4 years, they turned out much worse than I thought. I thought that when Donald Trump became president, that he would, once he was in the role, he would see, boy, I'm the most, powerful person on the planet, and I will have to rise to the occasion. But instead, he kind of dragged us down with everything else. And he gave people who had some very awful feelings and sentiments, and he gave them permission to come out from the rocks that they'd been under.
Mm-hmm. And yet, Sue, and yet he got, what, 47% of the vote, 40, I can't remember, so I don't have the number in front of me, 47, 48% of the vote. It was so ugly. It was so divisive. When you look at that 48% of the vote that Donald Trump got, do you think that most of those people actually believe in his view of the world, or what? How do you account for it?
I don't. I think that a lot of people, especially people with money, they saw that the economy had been excellent under him. Now, those weren't really his policies. Those were Obama's, but the economy was strong. If you remember just last February, I mean, just everything was, you know, things were good. And I think that a lot of people thought once the pandemic is over, he'll be back in office and he'll be good for the economy. There's a lot, people vote with their wallets all the time. And I think a lot of people did vote for it. That was one of the things that they found. They could overlook the other stuff because there are 401ks and all the other stock, all the stocks they had, everything was doing so well. So they could look the other way at the things that he was doing, like having children in cages. So,
wow. And tweeting nasty things and always picking fights and just being who he was. You alluded already to the insurrection that took place two Wednesdays ago. We've talked a lot about that on the show, when MAGA supporters fired up by Donald Trump's speech, trying to take over the Capitol and force, I don't know ultimately what their goal, what they were hoping to do. Maybe that'll come out in the investigation. But at the very least, they wanted to prevent Joe Biden from being sworn in as president. Do you think that had that scene, that sight, has convinced some of those Trump voters, some of those people who voted for Trump just 2 or 3 months ago, to realize that maybe that wasn't such a wise decision?
Oh, I think so. I think so. I think that people, his whining from Election Day on and all these lawsuits that you know, they'd have these lawsuits and nothing would come of them. People were just like, come on. Yes. You know, I wish you, my guy, had won, but you know, let's move on. And he would not move on. And I think that was already souring a lot of people on him, but that those people in the Capitol, doing all the things, destroying the Capitol, beating up those policemen, killing the one policeman, taking Nancy Pelosi's laptop. Those were not patriots. Those are traitors. Those are traitors. And I think that really turned a lot. The few people who are still sticking with him, a lot of them, that turned them off for good, I think.
What do you think of Joe Biden's speech today?
I thought it was a very good speech. He's trying to reach out to everybody and be inclusive and admit that we have a lot of work to do, but give him a chance. He's going to be the president for everybody. And I think it's a good start. He's starting out positive. And it's just so different just looking at it. I mean, I feel like they're closer to real people. I mean, when he was taking the oath, his wife was near tears, and you could see, because she loves him so much and she knows how much he wanted it. You see the grandkids over there, Hunter's little baby had to be taken out, you know, because he's, as you know, as any little baby, of course, would decide to cry right in the middle of the most important part, you know, and you know, so it's just like all these things, you know, that happen in a family, and it'd be kind of nice to see that again. One of the things that a tweet I saw, I think it was last week, and it was from somebody from Washington, and they were saying that it was just so odd that Donald Trump and his wife and family, they never engaged at all with anything happening in D.C. No events, no stopping at this coffee shop, nothing, you know. So it was like they just stayed in that house, and maybe they just went over to their hotel and did stuff there. But it's just a very, very unusual people.
Yes, very. And by the way, this is me speaking, not Sue. I don't believe Donald Trump's wife spent much time in that house at all. Okay. So very weird relationship. As soon as you say that, MAGA starts coming at you. How dare you insult our first lady? How dare you insult that precious relationship, that beautiful marriage they had? MAGA's out of its mind, Sue. Okay. I just say that to you. But yeah, I get your point. Whether it's real or not, it seems like all the presidents tried to engage. They try to engage with the larger like community of Washington. You're right. They, you know, civic projects, drop in at coffee shops occasionally. You go to a library or something. Right? Nothing. Right. No happiness coming from Trump in terms of Washington.
Oh, definitely. They just. And maybe that is the family business plan. We only eat at our own restaurants. If we need a cup of coffee, we get it there. And maybe that's it. We don't engage in any other business but our own, which is pretty cold.
In addition to Joe Biden, of course, Kamala Harris was sworn in. And man, I found there's a woman in the White House. Of sorts, very close, knocking on the door. I thought Hillary Clinton would be the first woman president, but that didn't happen. Kamala Harris, first woman vice president. Did that inspire you? Did that move you to tears? What was your reaction to that?
Yeah, there were a lot of times, you know, I think, you know, you think about her, you know, she was the daughter of immigrants. Now my parents are from here, but I mean, you know, and so they don't sound like they were rich or anything, and people, they had to work to get what they got. And I do think there really is something when people can see somebody that looks like them, somebody who has followed a path like theirs, that when children see stuff like that, they realize I can do that too. You know, look at that. Yeah, I always remember that picture where Obama, where the little boy, he's about four, and Obama puts his head down so the little boy can touch his hair because he's like, wow, your hair is just like mine. And when people, children can see stuff like that, they can see people whose stories are very much like their own. They can look beyond what they're, you know, they're where they are at this, that moment might be narrow, but they can see I could do this. You know, I could work hard. I can study in school. And I can make something of myself, too, just like she did.
I got to tell you this. Sue, I had the same feeling you did. I must have gotten it from my mother. My mother and your mother must have been a lot alike. I didn't want a public inauguration. I tell my wife, I go, these guys should just take the oath of office in the White House and go to work. We don't need a. And so when Kamala was sworn in. She was sworn at first. I was like, okay, go, leave. Just go. That's how nuts I am. Just go. Leave the stage. You don't have to watch this stuff. You can watch it on TV like the rest of us. You know what I'm saying? It was lunatic in me. But, yeah, I had that same paranoia. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think it was certainly heightened after what happened in the Capitol. Nobody would ever. I mean, I spent part of grad school in Washington, D.C. There's always a protest going on, and people are running around in front of the White House or the Capitol, whatever. They're with their little signs over there in Lafayette Park. That's fine. They're expressing whatever their view is. But no way did I ever think they would do what they did in the Capitol. And that really made me wonder how safe Joe Biden and Kamala Harris would be. And that's scary for many of us.
Yeah. And like I said, I was really glad when it ended and everybody was safe and sound and sworn in and we could get back to business. All right. Let's get you to go on a limb here. Rate Lady Gaga's performance of the national anthem with all the great performances of the national anthem that you have heard in your life. Go.
I'd give her a 9. I think a 9, maybe 9.5. I wouldn't give anybody a 10 probably, but yes.
Yeah, nobody? No. Well, damn, you're tough, Sue Ottaveros.
but she came. She didn't try to turn it into something else. She did it as the national anthem. So I thought she did a good job.
What's your favorite rendition of the anthem of all time? Do you have one?
I don't know that I have one. I do like, maybe not, I don't think it was there, but I like the Whitney Houston one. But then again, I'm just a big Whitney Houston fan. I don't remember where she sang that.
Super Bowl, 1991.
Okay, all right.
I'm weird. I don't know why I know that, but I do. It was the Giants versus the Buffalo Bills in 1990. And that's a cry for help, Sue, that I know that. Yeah. My favorite is Marvin Gaye from 1983 at a NBA All-Star game, the National Basketball League Association.
Yeah, that's another good one too. Yeah.
Right. And from when I was a kid, and I'm a lot older than you, Jose Feliciano did a version. I think it was, don't quote me on this, Sue, 1968, I want to say, in the World Series. And then I was a huge Jose Feliciano fan back then. And he got so much criticism because he just did it his way. I don't know if you were a fan of Jose Feliciano.
Oh, yes. I was, yes.
Yeah.
I know what your performance you're talking about. Yeah, very good. Very good.
Yeah, so I got to say, Lady Gaga, I love your whole look, and I love the fact that you were just outspoken in your opposition to Donald Trump throughout. But you're not quite there with Marvin Gaye and Jose Feliciano, but you did a great job. And finally, the poem, Amanda Gorman, 22-year-old poet out of Los Angeles, very impressive. The Hill We Climb was her poem. Were you impressed by that?
Oh my goodness. Yes. She's so young to be. And it was, the imagery was so strong. Her delivery was so good. I mean, it just, to think that somebody that young would be that talented already and to be doing it where she was doing it at the inauguration. I mean, she was great. She was really good. I wish we Americans could find more space in our lives for poetry. I've been listening to a couple books online of poetry, and boy, it just doesn't get the respect and exposure that it should.
No. And I could tell you, I told you this briefly, I tried writing poetry when I was young. It was horrific. It was horrendous. It was awful. I was about the same age as Amanda Gorman, and I would be like, oh, me, oh, whoa, it's so bad what I wrote. I've kept it. Good Lord, if anybody ever sees it, I should throw it away. But anyway, it was a great day for
your anthology.
What's that?
I said, you better watch it. It'll be in your anthology.
No, I'll be long gone. If anybody puts that in the anthology, it's a huge mistake. But my warning, and I'm curious if you share my same concern, is that people who view the world the way I do, speaking for myself, liberals or lefties, Democrats, what have you, really, I'm going to be saying this over and over again, don't make the same mistake you made with Obama and just go back to sleep, because the other side is organizing. I've already gotten about 3 or 4 email requests. I'm on all these right-wing email, I don't know why, Sue, but talking about Joe Biden as a threat, as a leftist threat, this, that, the other thing. I just hope Democrats don't fall asleep, just get too comfortable with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris in the White House. What's your thoughts about that?
Oh, definitely. I definitely agree. I remember when Obama became president and people would say to me, well, see, we've gotten to the other side. There's no, people aren't looking at race. And I'm like, are you kidding me? If anything, I think the election of Barack Obama raised the temperature and we on the other side who were just, oh, okay, this is, oh, great, everything's good, had no idea how crazed they were, how well-financed they were, how well-organized they were to go out and do as much damage as they've done. But yes, and with, I will say this, that Donald Trump did make several of my friends who had never been involved. I mean, they voted, but that was it. They're just, he just, like I say, just made their hair go on fire. And they just got where they were organizing, where they were letter writing, where they were getting other people involved, just nonstop. you know, and I think a lot of people, I think in a way, voting and being involved in, and what's going on in your government has kind of, I hope it's got a cool factor now. And you know, people used to always say, oh, you know, your vote doesn't matter. You know, it won't matter. But if we've seen so many elections when they are razor thin. And when they count the votes, you see, my gosh, if a couple people and, you know, one little cul-de-sac hadn't voted, things could be a whole different way. Yeah. So and I think there's an election that was a local election in one of the, I think, the western suburbs, where the vote was so close. They did a recount. They had the exact number of votes, and the person was chosen. I want to say it was Downers Grove, by a flip of the coin. So when people see that kind of thing, I think you have to realize your vote does matter. And they wouldn't have been going through so much trouble to make it so you couldn't vote if your vote wasn't worth something. So I hope people realize that and will stay involved. And we'll see.
Well put. If your vote didn't matter, they wouldn't go through such trouble to keep you from voting. Well put. And I hadn't thought about it that way, but you're absolutely correct. And I'll add to that one more thing. Donald Trump on the phone. If he doesn't get impeached for this alone, there is no justice in this country. Donald Trump on the phone in violation of every single norm. I don't know what the law is. It should be a violation of the law if it's not. On the phone with the Secretary of State of the state of Georgia saying, find the votes I need to win Georgia. Just a blatant attempt to steal an election. And if that doesn't wake Americans up to how their votes matter, I don't know what will. You know what I'm saying, Sue? The fact that...
Yeah, right. He asked for the exact amount, 11,001. We need 11,001. and no shame in his game either about... I think he just thought he should have won. And so somehow you've got to do something. And I think that this is probably the way he operated all the time in business. He was able to pressure, bully, sue people to do what his way. God only knows. Oh, I wish we would hear from somebody who really went to school with him. What really happened when he was in school? What he was like then, you know, because I think this is the first thing that he's wanted that he was not able to have. And that has just sent him over the edge.
Yeah, and sent over a lot of his followers with him, I might add. All right, Sue, before we let you go, just tell people one more time, if they're interested in getting more information about the High Ridge Wiry, if they want to get involved, if they weren't aware of it, there were articles written in the Sun-Times and the Tribune this week, but people may not have seen it. Where can they get more information if they want to get involved? It's really important, in my humble opinion, that communities not lose places where kids can get swimming lessons, for crying out loud, or they can just have a communal place to get together and that's not privately owned. So give folks just a last shout out where they can get some more information on this subject.
Well, we have a Facebook page, and it's called Save the High Ridge YMCA. And that's where we're, you know, disseminating information. And that's, you know, and we do have we've got a lot of people who are really interested, and I hope that we'll be able to get the Y to either stay open or to help us find another organization that can keep us in operation if they no longer want to operate a community center for children, seniors. You know, it's always been a beacon, a haven for the immigrants and refugees in our neighborhood, and we need to keep it. That's all there is to it.
All right, that's the great Sue Ontiveros. Sue, thanks so much for coming on, and good luck with the fight to keep the High Ridge Y open. All right.
Thank you.
All right, that's Sue Ontiveros. I'm Ben Jarofsky. Take care, everybody.